As soon as he could get a grip of Tali's limp body, the giant pushed Dom back into the water, slung the boy across her shoulder, and set off at a run through the trees. Dom hauled himself out, painfully and shamefacedly, on the rocks at the far side of the pool. He coughed up water and waited for the pounding in his head to stop. He heard the swish of a blade and threw himself backwards. Underwater, he blundered into a thicket of finger-thick cabling and surfaced again in a clump of water lilies. Charlie glanced at him and let the tip of the blade take another 2-foot slice out of the black rock where his fingers had been.
"He was only playing," she hissed in perfect Janglic. "He is the second-best Shamori in the galaxy, and he was only playing, but you had to win." "I am not playing," she added.
The sword sizzled round her head and took a thick copper branch off a nearby tree without noticeably slowing. Dom dived and came up at the far side of the pool, scrambling out as she came round after him. His discarded body armour still lay in the gravel. He groped in it feverishly. It couldn't withstand the sham sword that could cut through rock. The padding was just to take the force of the blow. There must be a static field to turn that impossibly sharp edge. He didn't see the blow. There was no sensation except for a faint glimmer of green. The piece of breastplate he was holding was just in 2 pieces, that was all. The singlet had become a doublet. It was no consolation to see the sheared field components dribble out onto the ground.
"I will cut you up," she said, "a bit at a time, starting with the extremities."
The tip of the sword drew a thin line across his arm only because Dom had moved with commendable speed.
"You say your death won't be yet," she said. "Can you be so sure, hey?"
Dom winced and closed his eyes. The sword caught him in the neck. He opened his eyes and felt her contemptuous glare as he touched his neck sheepishly.
"You wait till you nod your head." "I hit you with the flat, fool," she said,
walking up to him and standing on tiptoe to bring her hand across in a stinging slap.
"Boastful, boorish, barbarian boy!"
His feet fought for purchase on the edge as he teetered over the pool, and then, for the third time, he hit the water bodily and came up shaking his head and gasping. Charlie pointed the sword at him, trembling.
"If he is dead, boy, if he is dead!"
She picked up a small rock and threw it inexpertly at his head. When he broke surface again, she was a small figure riding between the trees. Dom let the water stream off him and lay on the gravel watching the ants. They had appeared from everywhere to congregate around the branch that she had cut down. While he watched, it fell neatly in two, and he saw the tiny blue pinpoint of an electronic cutter. The smaller piece was dragged quickly across the gravel to a hatchway that had appeared in a tree. Dom took his grav sandals and the sham sword and walked back to the horse. It looked at him sympathetically and said nothing. He rode off thoughtfully. High up on the stump of the branch, a minute crane was being jostled into position and scaffolding, it appeared. The Myrmidon reconstruction crew had already set to work. Further up, where the silicon chip leaves drank in the sun and tinkled in the breeze, another insect watched them impassively. It had camera eyes, and it was not a Laoth make. A spider watched it and thought of electricity. Chapter 11. We are an old race. We have enjoyed all that the galaxy has to offer. I myself have seen the black mouth in the centre of the galaxy and the bright dead stars beyond, and therefore, as a race, we must be doomed. You seek new experience as a pseudo-human. I studied the birth of hydrogen in the interstellar abyss with the race called Pod. We sublimate our creopiness because it stifles us. Where do we go from here? Personal letter from his furnace, Crab E plus 687 degrees, to his furnace, Krieg E plus 690 degrees, reprinted in the anthology Post-Joker. Enter! Dom pushed open the door. Tali was lying on his stomach reading. He glanced up and grinned.
Come on in!
Dom entered sheepishly and dumped the grav sandals on the bed. Yours, he said. Tali touched them thoughtfully.
Yes, he said doubtfully, and switched off the cube.
Gravity was on my side, and I cheated and, well, said Dom miserably. You're soaked, said Tali.
He clapped his hands. There was a rush of air from one corner of the room, and a young Drosk appeared, took an order for clothing and a towel, and vanished. A moment later, she was back.
Have your people got rigid rules about bodily exposure? Asked Tali. If so, the ablution room is through there.
Dom pulled his sodden shirt over his head and grunted.
Only we get all sorts here, you see. Okay, chakwa duck.
He clapped his hands again.